change in the subject, and when he looks at me again, that flicker of something is now gone, wiped away.
It's Saturday night, and the busiest night of the week at the bar. One of the two of us needs to go to Terrence on your behalf. We'll play it by ear on which one.
And say what?
A demand that if you prove yourself tonight, you want to be on payroll for your next shift. Play it off as if you always believed that would be the case.
As Kelly Vincent? I ask.
Yes. When he calls you Sierra, ask him if he gives nicknames to all the girls. Make him believe he got confused about your name.
He means convince him that I'm not vulnerable, therefore Juju, a serial killer, shouldn't target me, because apparently, somewhere in the process of studying crazy killers, I became a magnet for them. Asher and I arrive late to work at the bar. We enter the building through the back entrance, and we're about 4 steps past the break room when we come face to face with the bar manager, Terrence, who is big, bulky, and maybe 35. Or 45. He's one of those people that you just can't guess the age for, even if you are one of those who always gets it right. I think it's the shaved head, or perhaps the unibrow and bad attitude, and in that order.
Why the hell are you two late in walking in together?
He demands.
We were fucking,
Asher says.
And if you don't like it, fire us. Carlson down the road at Red Roof Bar offered us both jobs, and they promised Kelly a real paycheck.
I'm contemplating punching Asher at least twice, once for the "we were fucking" comment, and once for putting my job on the line. But Terrence steals the show with a scowl and another demand.
Who the fuck is Kelly?
Me, of course, I say as if in disbelief. I'm Kelly, I add, and I just decide to go with it and follow Asher's lead. And Carlson knows that.
I thought you were Sierra,
he snaps. I thought you just gave everyone a nickname, I say, and mine was Sierra.
How's this for a nickname?
He asks.
Get your asses to work or you're fired.
Do I get a paycheck? I press.
You were late, he says. Ask me when you prove you can be on time. She gets a paycheck,
Asher says. He and Terrence stare at each other down. Terrence clenches his jaw and looks at me.
We'll do paperwork if you survive Saturday night.
He turns and walks away. I turn and face Asher. We were fucking? You couldn't be more discreet?
Terrence isn't exactly a discreet kind of guy, and we need to get the point across. You're with me.
I'll punish you later. I promise. But for now, I move on. You pushed him to fire us and knew he wouldn't. I say, what do you have on him?
Walker paid a couple of the bartenders to quit over the past week. He says he can't afford to fire us.
His phone buzzes with a text, and he pulls it from his pocket and reads the message.
Juju just had an Uber drop him in the parking lot 2 blocks away.
Why would he? I stop myself. I know why. A drug deal, I say.
Yes.
He confirms, sticking his phone back in his pocket.
But he's not selling to anyone that fits his victim profile. Hello, assholes.
Terrence shouts at us, reappearing in the hallway.
Get to work.
On it, boss,
he says as if he's actually compliant instead of a smartass, his arms settling around my shoulders as he sets us in motion down a hallway.
Punish me, baby,
he murmurs in my ear.
I didn't want you to think I missed that promise.
I smile, despite the fact that Terrence glares at us for several of our steps before he disappears into an office. We cut left and round a corner to enter the dimly lit, crazy crowded bar, considering it's still early. Asher snags my hand and starts walking, leading me through the tables and bodies, the sound of Kelly Clarkson's Love So Soft blasting through the speakers. Kelly. My name is Kelly. I can't forget that. I don't know how I forgot with Terrence. Maybe I really am tired of running, but a fight just isn't always the answer, a reality I already know Asher won't easily accept. I lose that thought as we near the bar we work behind, and I bring the 2 half-naked asses attached to 2 half-naked women dancing on top of it into view, and I'm thrust into the past, to one of the many times the beast forced me to go to topless bars, forced me to watch him get lap dances, and even get them myself when I just wanted to leave, wanted to run. But I was forced to run, forced to take this job, but it's money. And it brought me to Asher, and I can't regret either of those things. Asher and I head to the end of the bar, and he unlatches the wooden counter, lifting it and creating an entrance. I pass through the opening, stepping behind the bar. Asher joins me, and as soon as I turn to face him, he pulls me close and presses his cheek to mine.
"Watch for Juju,"
he says, and when I expect his arms to fall away, he instead adds,
"You don't belong here. We're going to talk about that."
He releases me and walks to the bar to attend a customer, leaving me behind to digest his words with a mix of emotions, both good and bad. Yes, I like Asher's alpha protective nature, but no, I do not want to be controlled by another man. An hour later, Asher has dispelled any negative his statement created in me by paying zero attention to the dancers, while managing to touch me as much as he has his orders. On one quick pass behind me, his hands settle on my hips, and he leans in close.
"Luke just texted me. Juju is at a diner down the road, and on a separate, immensely important note, your ass looks fucking perfect in those jeans."
I laugh as he moves away and attends to a customer, while I too serve up drinks. Over the next hour, Asher and I have many intimate little moments before he steps behind me again, his hands back on my hips, as he leans in and finally offers an update on Juju.
"He's somewhere in the bar, and we can't be out of here and naked in my bed together soon enough,"
before he moves away. That "naked and in his bed" comment isn't missed, but I'm also quite certain it's meant to distract me from some anticipated freakout over Juju and him being undercover to catch him. I'm not freaked out. I'm not going to blink. I want to catch a killer. Exactly why I greet a customer and discreetly scan the crowd to find no signs of Juju. For another full hour, which then turns into two, there is still no sign of Juju in the crowd, but me or Asher, even though the Walker team insists he's here. I've just shared a look with Asher, confirming that hasn't changed, when a bald dude, with a bald dude that is not him on his shirt, orders a beer. Which is weird, while him dragging out the transaction to attempt to ask me out is irritating. Ultimately, he hands me a $20 tip and finally walks away. I stick the cash in the money jar, just as the girl dancing to my right suddenly squats down in front of me, her ample breasts pretty much falling out of her top. "I'm Jessie," she calls out over the exceedingly loud music that at present is "What Lovers Do" by Maroon 5, I think. "I can't afford to take a break without Terrence firing me," she adds. "Any chance I could get some water?" Her fear of Terrence reminds me of a much smaller version of my fear of Devon, and I happily grab my sprayer and fill a glass for her. She gulps it down and hands the glass back to me. "Thanks," she shouts out as she shoves some guy away. "Lucky you," she says after he backs off. "I wish I was behind the bar." I wouldn't ever be on that bar, but I get it. She's using her assets to survive. As if proven that point, she tugs her top down a bit more and stands, only to have the guy she shoved away grab her leg. I use the water hose in my hand and spray the drunk asshole, who curses at me but backs off. Jessie gives me a thumbs-up thank you, and we both laugh. She turns away, and I glance over at Asher to find his side of the bar packed with people, while the other dancer is kneeling in front of him, facing him, her legs spread wide. He motions for her to move, but she grabs his arm and bites her bottom lip and actually tries to drag his hand to her panties. My stomach knots with a flashback of me watching Devon feel up a dancer, because if I didn't... Asher jerks his hand back and points up at the dancer. I don't know what he says, but her face falls hard and fast, and she stands just as hard and fast. He turns in my direction, and I quickly face the other way before he knows that I was watching. Hating how much seeing that woman offering herself up to him bothered me. I just met Asher. I have no right to feel this way. I don't want to feel this way. I won't feel this way. I step to the counter and take an order, but Asher is suddenly next to me, pulling me to him, his cheek pressed to mine, hand on my lower back.
"That was her, not me,"
he says, making it clear that he knows I saw what happened.
"You have my full attention. And no one has ever had my full attention."
The minute he says those words, I know that I have the option to reject them as sweet talk or to choose to trust him, and he's made that decision remarkably easy. My hand goes to his face, my lips press into his lips, and I've just touched my tongue with his when someone grabs my arm. I look up to find Jessie squatted down again. "Trouble!" she shouts, pointing down the bar. Asher and I follow her lead to discover two guys on top of the bar, grabbing the dancer I will now forever think of as Crotch Girl. Asher curses, and in a swift move and a jump, he's on top of the bar, yanking one of the men off Crotch Girl. He tosses the guy off the bar, but that doesn't end it. The other guy lunges at Asher, and Crotch Girl jumps off the bar and to my side of the counter, just in time to avoid the impact of a fist. Jessie jumps too and joins us, but I'm not focused on them. I'm focused on Asher and the two new guys that jump onto the bar and go at him. I suck in air and watch as Asher struggles with them, but ultimately wins out. I breathe out in relief. He's virtually unscathed, and they look like the drunk fools they are who stupidly chose an ex-Navy SEAL to fight. "I hate when this happens," Jessie shouts over the music, her complaint telling me that this fight is a version of normal to her. The fact that there are people standing around the bar, still drinking and dancing to the music, confirms that, yes, this is a normal Saturday night. And Lord help me, I don't want it to be my normal. Thankfully, though, the fight begins to die down, and a couple of guys approach our end of the bar, waving Jessie and Crotch Girl forward. Both dancers rush toward the obviously familiar men, while the bouncers, along with Asher, now have the final troublemakers off the bar, and they're dragging them toward the exit. Terrence parts the crowd and charges at Jessie and Crotch Girl.
"Dance!" he shouts. "Now!"
They both scramble to the top of the bar as he leans across it and focuses on me.
"Get busy!"
He seals that barked order to me by turning to the room and waves people forward. I'm rushed by customers and I start taking orders, but freeze with what seems to be a flash, like a camera. My head jerks up and I scan the area to spy no one taking pictures, but then I'm swamped with people.
"You're paranoid,"
I murmur to myself, filling another order, but Asher hasn't returned and I have the sense of being watched, this unease that I can't shake. It's nagging at me, and I ignore the guy in front of me demanding a buttery nipple and laughing while he does. I focus on the seating areas, scanning for the source of my unease. And I find it. Juju is sitting at a table halfway across the bar, staring at me. Asher's right. I have Juju's attention, and my only comfort in that is that maybe, just maybe, while focused on me, he's not focused on another innocent girl. Because I'm not innocent. I might not know how to use a gun, but there's at least one asshole in Texas who most likely knows my knee more intimately than he's ever known pleasure. I turn away from him, and my gaze lands on Asher, two bouncers, and a cop standing near the front door, the cop my real focus. My heart starts to race at the sight of that uniform, which has a connection to my past that is far more dangerous than Juju. I cannot risk being recognized, not when Devin has his cronies looking for me, while the many random press photos I've been forced to smile through by his side make me easier to recognize than I'd hope. Decision made, I jump up on the bar next to Jessie and grab her arm. "I have to pee. Send people to the other bars." She gives me a thumbs up, and I jump down on the other side of the bar. And that's when Juju steps in front of me and holds up a photo, a taunting smile on his face. A photo that he would be paid large sums of money for supplying to Devin. I reach for his phone and he pulls it away, waggling a finger at me, before he disappears into the crowd, holding it and me hostage. I want to go after him, knee him, and take his damn phone. I take a step toward him, but he's already walking toward the door, and my gut says that he's luring me out of the bar where he could have one of Devin's cronies waiting on me. My heart now wants to beat right out of my chest. I need out of this bar. I head to the employee exit where Asher and I had entered the bar, and I don't stop until I'm down that hallway and in the bathroom. My phone rings, and I grab it, finding Asher's number on the caller ID. "In the employee bathroom," I say, "and I need to see you now."
"I'm on my way."
He disconnects the call, and I slide my phone back into my pocket, wishing I had the mace I left back in my apartment. Instead, I lean against the wall, my mind racing as fast as my heart. "Think, Sierra," I whisper. "Calm down and think." I inhale and exhale, and my mind actually starts to work. Juju can't know who I am. He's just playing games with me. He's not connected to Devin. He doesn't know what that photo is worth. The door opens, and Asher is immediately in front of me.
What's wrong?
He asks, his hand settling at my waist, a huge cut down his cheek.
What happened?
Juju took my picture, and he could sell it for big money. He could hand it to the wrong person, and it's the end for me and us. Asher's jaw sets, determination and decision in his face and actions as he releases me and moves toward the door. No, I say, stepping with him and grabbing his arm. Wait, don't go after him. We need to think about this.
No thinking required, Asher says. I'll beat his fucking ass and take it.
No, I say, my thoughts coming full circle now. You can't do that.
Hell if I can't.
I step in front of him, blocking the door. If he's the serial killer and you spook him, he'll retreat. That means you won't catch him until he kills again, and that could be a long time. You can't take my photo from him.
You were completely panicked when I called you.
Now that I'm calming down, this isn't the problem I thought it was. There's no way he took that photo to sell.
Unless someone has been asking around about you.
He's right. There is that. But I'm back to logic. We can't risk letting a killer get away, I say. Most likely he takes a picture as part of the game he plays with his victims.
Are you fucking serious? Am I supposed to be comforted by the idea that a serial killer targeted you as his next kill?
Yes. He's nothing compared to the Beast. Chapter 19. Sierra.
Did Juju use a phone or a camera to take your picture?
He asks, when I'd expected him to push for answers about Devin. The devil. The Beast, who I've just told him scares me far more than Juju. A phone, I say. He showed it to me. He taunted me with it, and he obviously, in my assessment, tried to get me to follow him, but I'm not that young and gullible.
No,
he says.
You are not, which makes him targeting you feel off.
He's right. It does. And yet Juju has most definitely targeted me. But I don't get the chance to say that. Asher has already pulled out his own phone and hit the auto dial.
Blake,
he says, obviously throwing the idea of excluding Blake from this conversation to the wind.
Talk to me.
Blake says loud enough that I hear him, no hesitation in reply either, as if he doesn't remember the conflict with Asher any more than Asher remembers it with him.
Juju took Sierra's picture,
he says,
and while it's most likely one of the ways he taunts his victims, we all know she's on the run. She can't have that photo go public. You could always beat the fuck out of him and take it,
Blake says, still loud enough for me to hear.
Of course, based on Sierra's earlier assessment, that might not be in the case's best interest. But for the record, man, if she's your woman, I get it. He'd be Pulp Fiction if this was Kara.
No, I say firmly. You can't. You won't.
I heard that,
Blake says.
Just do it anyway.
Stop, Blake, I call out.
It's not off the table,
Asher says to both me and Blake. You can't, I say, and you know it. That will...
Send him underground,
Asher states.
I get it.
He hits speaker.
You're on speaker, Blake. Nothing on his cloud,
Blake says.
I'll look for other ways he might upload. I'd have to get back behind the bar.
Asher replies.
I need someone to text me his location now and any time it changes. Done.
Blake confirms.
And I'll get you an update on the photo. For the record,
Asher adds,
your ass is off this case after tonight. We'll talk.
Blake agrees, surprising me with a rather compliant reply, when there is nothing about the man that is compliant at all before he disconnects. Asher sticks his phone back in his pocket.
Juju was either using a phone in someone else's name to take those photos or a throwaway.
How do you know he even uses the cloud? I ask.
Blake hacked his MacBook and turned it on, and he has an alert set up to ensure it stays on.
Is that possible? That can't be possible.
You'd be surprised just what a hacker can do.
He presses his hands on the door on either side of me, his expression and tone turning harder.
And you'd be surprised what a serial killer will do. There's a big difference between sitting in a room with a restrained killer and facing one who is walking the streets and wants you dead.
I know that, I say.
I don't think you do, but I do. Just as you're an expert at analyzing killers, I'm an expert at keeping the right people alive and killing the bad guys.
which is why you will do what I say the rest of this night, or I swear to you, I will drug you myself and take you out of here. And before you get the idea in your pretty little head that I'm strong-arming you like your ex, stop and think. I'm going to keep you alive. He's trying to kill you.
I know that, too.
You better.
He states firmly,
because I'm the difference between you living and dying. We need to get back behind that bar.
He pushes away from me. I don't move, intentionally remaining the block to him opening the door. Are the police still here?
They left, and you can explain to me why you're afraid of them when we get out of here.
I'm not a criminal, I say. I told you that.
Later, Sierra.
No, I say. I cannot stand the idea of you thinking that you're helping a criminal. He's close to law enforcement, and he's a public figure. He filed a missing persons report, and I've been photographed with him too often to not be worried about being recognized. He studies me for several beats, and while his expression has not changed, his energy is sharp, angry even.
Let's get back out there,
he says. There are so many things I need to process right now, maybe even say to him, admit to him, but I need that processing time, and he's right. If we plan to keep our jobs here, we need to go back out there. I step away from the door, and Asher opens it. Once we're in the hallway, he takes my hand, and while I feel the touch and the burn between us just as much now as ever, he's distant, withdrawn. Maybe he's even regretting helping me. We round the corner, back into the crush of people and the blast of music. This time Van Halen's You Really Got Me, the song Rockin' the Walls. Asher has my hand again, leading me through the crowd, and when we reach the bar, it's to find Terrence standing in front of the entrance. He scowls at us, but he couldn't speak if he wanted to, not and be heard. He moves and lifts the bar. Asher pulls me in front of him, and I enter, hurrying to my spot where I start taking orders. I glance left and find Asher in his spot as well. He doesn't look at me. He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't touch me. It's making me crazy. He's making me crazy. I want him to talk to me. I want him to touch me. An hour passes, and I have a lot of thoughts in that time that come down to a few. He has taken risks for me, invited me into his life, his home, his trust and even willingness to give me 2 unconditional weeks to confess everything to him while he still offers me protection. But he feels the danger of the unknown those 2 weeks represent, and if I take them, I've taken and taken and given him nothing. That doesn't work. I glance at the time on some dude's watch. Last call is about 10 minutes away, which means a rush at the bar, and I can't take it anymore. Asher is filling an order, and I walk toward him. The minute he sets the drink in front of the guy, I stand between him and the bar. My hands come down on those gorgeous, colorfully tattooed arms of his, arms that tell a story of his life that I want to know. My eyes meet his, and I not only register the question in his eyes, I feel the connection between us like a live charge through my body. I know what I have to do, and I push to my toes, pressing my lips to his ear. I will tell you everything, but only you. You can't tell anyone else, not without... He pulls back, and suddenly his hand is at the back of my head and he's kissing me, a deep, possessive, intense kiss that is over too soon.
We'll figure it out.
He promises, his lips now at my ear before he's staring down at me and giving me a nod that is a question. I nod back, relieved, certain now that he's right. Fate brought us together, but he decided to keep us together, and he needed to know I did too. The 10-minute final call is announced, and he brushes his lips over mine before releasing me. 10 more minutes, and we can get out of here. The minute drink service ends, Asher grabs the tip jar in my hand, once again leading me through the crowd, and we don't stop until we're in the break room, where thankfully no one else is right now.
Let's get your cash and get out of here,
he says, pulling a wad of bills from the jar. My cash? I ask. Don't you mean our cash?
Tattoo boy.
At the sound of Terrence's voice, Asher grimaces and glances to the door.
What do you want, Baldy? A minute.
He bites out.
Alone.
Asher stuffs the cash he's holding back inside the jar and then glances at me.
Do not leave this room.
I won't. I promise with absolutely no hesitation. I might be willing to battle Juju to save other people's lives, but I'm not foolish enough to want to die in the process. He studies me for several beats, as if weighing my flight risk, which has me adding, I'm not going anywhere without you. He steps closer.
If you do, I'll come for you, and unlike others, I'll find you.
He turns and walks away, and I'm surprisingly comforted by the certainty that he would indeed find me. Hopefully he'll never have to prove that to be true. He and Terrence disappear into the hallway, and I pull the cash from the tip jar a little at a time and start counting. 5 minutes later, I'm determined that tonight's take is $1,262, and tonight was busier than last night. I stuff it all in my purse because I don't need Mace. I have Asher, who walks back into the room, his expression all hard lines and irritation. What did he say?
Nothing I didn't expect.
He says, glancing at the empty tip jar and then back at me.
Are we ready to get out of here?
Before we ever got here, I say, not about to bring up the tips he obviously didn't share last night now. He's tense, and we both want out of here. I put the money in my purse, I add, and trying to drive home my promise to stay with him, to tell him everything, I add, I decided that you're a better weapon than Mace.
I am, sweetheart. Bet on me.
Like you've bet on me? I ask, starting to really grip the magnitude of that trust.
That's the idea.
I will. I promise. I am. Asher, I... He leans in and kisses me, his hand on the side of my face.
I want you to finish that thought, but later, when we're alone.
His thumb strokes my cheek.
I want you out of this hellhole.
I want you out of this hellhole. He laughs, the tension in his expression easing.
Come on,
he says, taking my hand and leading me out of the room, and the instant we're in the hallway, he walks me to his side, not behind him, not in front of him. We reach the exit, and he pauses, looking over at me.
8 blocks to the train station,
Asher says, his arms sliding around my shoulder and pulling me close.
4 north, 4 east, and not only do I have men monitoring our exit, one of them has our backs, making sure we get on that train without company.
I want to ask where Juju is now, but he's already answered that question with his promise that Juju won't follow us. Juju isn't here. Devin isn't here. Asher is, and that matters more than he knows. I need him to know. After all he's done, he needs to hear that. He deserves to hear that. We exit the building into the alleyway, and the night is starless, stormy, the smell of rain in the wind, the sound of thunder in the not-so-distant distance. Asher slides his arm around my shoulders and pulls me close, my side molded to his, and I have this sense that he's sheltering me. He's been sheltering me from the moment he stopped being the asshole that told me to take off some clothes and get up on the bar and dance. I'll analyze how we went from that to this another time. Right now we turn a corner onto an even darker street, and Asher is quiet, his body tense, and I have the sense that he's listening, on edge and ready to act if needed. I don't think that is about Juju either. His men are watching for him. Asher trusts them, but he's as aware as I am of the unknowns he battles in my name. And so, the silence between us continues until finally the subway is in view and his phone buzzes. Asher stops us in our tracks, and I stiffen with the fear that this is a warning of some sort.
Relax,
Asher says, releasing me to pull his phone from his pocket.
Jacob is supposed to text before we go underground. This is a sign they have eyes on us.
He glances down at the text and then shows me the message that reads, All clear. I breathe out. Thank God. I glance up at him. I didn't realize how nervous I was until right now. He sticks his phone back in his pocket.
I know you don't know it yet,
he says as we start down the subway stairs.
But everyone on my team would die for you.
I don't want anyone to die for me, Asher.
No one is going to die, Sierra.
And with that vow, he takes my hand and settles it on his and sets us back in motion. It's not long until we're through the payment gates and hurrying down the second set of stairs into the subway tunnel, hurrying toward his home, because his life has become intertwined with my life. We reach the entrance to the tunnel, and it's not long until we've passed through the payment gates. Asher motions me forward toward only one of four track options for this location. We hurry across the concrete-paved path and then down two flights of steps that lead to one of the cave-like terminals, where a half-dozen people mill around, waiting on one of two trains to arrive. Asher and I claim a spot just beyond the tracks, both of us facing forward. "What did Terrence say to you?" I ask, glancing over at him. He looks over at me.
"He wanted to know how long we'd been fucking."
"What did you say?"
"Longer than his dick,"
he replies.
"Right after I jacked him against the wall and told him to stop thinking about my woman."
The muted sound of the train approaching is my one-minute warning. "It makes no sense that he's that interested in our bedroom habits," I say.
"I handled him,"
he replies. "That's not an answer."
"You didn't ask a question,"
he says as the explosive roar of our train pulls to a stop. The doors buzz with a warning before opening, and Asher and I step into the empty car, but even with all the seats empty, I am too wired to sit. I step to a pole, and Asher steps to the opposite side of it, our hands aligned, our legs pressed together. "You want a question?" I ask as the doors shut. "Was Terrence asking for himself, or Juju?"
"I don't know that answer,"
Asher says. "You have a gut feeling," I insist as the train starts to move.
"Yes,"
he says.
"I do."
"Don't do that," I warn. "Don't shut me out when I've promised to let you in."
"Are you going to let me in, Sierra?"
"Yes, I am. So answer."
"I believe Terrence asked for Juju."
"Why?"
"It's a gut feeling,"
he says.
"That's all I have to offer."
"Right." I look down, suddenly overwhelmed with just how easily these beasts hone in on me. Asher cups my face and tilts my gaze back to his free hand snagging my hips and walking me to him.
"Did you wake up to the fact that Juju is a monster to be feared?"
"I'm not, nor have I ever downplayed how dangerous he is."
"You were practically smiling in that bathroom when you realized he was stalking you instead of your ex."
"My ex is stalking me. And if I seemed unfazed by Juju in that bathroom, I wasn't. I'm not."
"And yet you want to be bait."
"No, I told you no. I just don't want to let fear be the reason someone gets hurt."
"And because the beast scares you more than Juju."
"Actually," I say, "the idea that a serial killer is targeting me is no longer overshadowed by my relief that he wasn't taking photos for the beast."
"We don't know that."
"He doesn't connect to my ex," I say.
"He just kills women who look like you."
"I told you, I know how dangerous he is."
"How long has your ex been the beast to you?"
he asks, shifting the topic. "Since my accident," I say. "That's when I gave him the name, but he'd already started showing himself as that monster. I think my accident just sped it up."
"When I told you no one was going to die, I reserved the right to exclude the beast and that monster Juju from that statement."
Alarm bells go off in my head and I grab his shirt, stepping into him. "You cannot go after him."
"Running isn't the answer."
"You're going to end up dead. You will not go after him, and I'm not telling you who he is until you make me believe you mean it."
"I don't die easily. I'd give you references, but they're all dead."
"There you go with your arrogant macho hero complex again. Damn it, Asher. I want to tell you who he is. I want my secret to be our secret, but you cannot go after him."
"I won't promise that."
"But you still expect me to tell you."
"Sweetheart, we obviously have a miscommunication. I want your trust. I want to do this right, but I'm resourceful. I'm going after him, whether you tell me who he is or not."
Chapter 20. Asher. The announcement for our stop sounds, and Sierra releases the bar and turns away from me, standing in front of the door to wait for it to open. I step behind her, and I'm about to settle my hands on her arms when she turns and points at me, holding on to one of the steel bars framing the door. "You do not touch me. I can't think when you touch me. You make me crazy." "How firm are you on that no-touching rule?" I ask, grabbing both of the bars, and bringing our bodies close, if not touching. "I wouldn't suggest you touch me and find out." The doors open and she rotates, charging forward into the empty train station, and I am quick to step to her side, keeping pace up the stairs. "For the record, the feeling is mutual, sweetheart," I say. "You make me just as crazy. I've broken every rule in my book for you." She stops walking and whirls on me.
"You've broken rules? Really? I've broken every rule of survival in my book for you, and those rules exist for a reason. I want to stay alive, and I want everyone else to stay alive."
She points at me and firms her lips.
"That means you, hero boy."
She turns and starts moving up the stairs again.
"Hero boy?"
I ask in disbelief, keeping pace with her.
"Sweetheart, I haven't been a boy since I gave up my virginity to Ashley Cameron when I was 14 and she was 17.
"Don't call me sweetheart,"
she says.
"Are we back to that again?"
"Yes. And I bet money that Ashley Cameron gave it up to you and not the other way around."
"Is that a compliment or an insult?"
"It's a simple observation,"
she says. At that point, I decide to do what the Walker men rarely do with their women. Shut up before I dig a deeper hole. We clear the stairs and walk across the expanse of the terminal. She doesn't look at me, which is probably good. I'm pretty sure looking at me would just piss her off all over again right now. We reach the final set of stairs that lead to the street, and I pull my phone from my pocket, readying auto-dial for the moment I have bars. Once that happens, I violate Sierra's damn rule by catching her arm. "Don't exit to the sidewalk until I get the all clear." She turns to face me and gives me a lethal stare, but follows it with a nod of understanding, which is when I punch the auto dial and release her arm before I get punched. Which would be okay if I could make her kiss me and make it all better, but that time isn't here yet.
"Update," I say when Jacob answers. "All clear," he says. "And uneventful. Juju went home. No guests."
Because he doesn't need to hunt anymore, I think. He's already picked Sierra, and I don't like that answer.
"Let me know if that changes, no matter what time it is," I say.
"Copy that," Jacob says, and we disconnect. I motion Sierra forward and stick my phone back inside my pocket. We clear the tunnel and start the short walk to my building. Sierra doesn't ask for an update, but our status is fairly obvious. We're safe. She's safe, the way I intend to keep her. That's the entire goal here. Well, not the entire fucking goal. I want her with me when I've never wanted any other woman with me beyond a fuck. And yeah, sure, I want Sierra naked. Sooner rather than later, but ultimately with me, in my home, in my bed, and I don't question why. I've watched 3 Walker men go from highly single to obsessed with a woman. And I now accept their explanation, which is, there is no explanation for how one woman, one chance meeting, changes everything. I follow her rule. I don't touch her. But the idea of Juju sitting at home and fantasizing about killing her has me walking really damn close to her. We cross the street and enter my building with her silent treatment rock solid and going nowhere. I don't like it. I'm going to end it. Once we're at the elevator, I punch the button and the doors open instantly. We step into the car and I key in the code. Sierra flattens on the left wall. I don't go to her or pull her to me and kiss the fuck out of her. I want to. I really fucking want to. But my gut says that would be a mistake with Sierra in her current state of mind. Instead, I claim the opposite wall. My hands on the steel rail behind me. A way to occupy them before they end up all over her. We stare at each other. and where there had been anger minutes before, now there's combustible anger. The kind of anger driven by how much we want to fuck again. In my book, that's progress. Come here, Sierra. I order, thinking about how much I really want my fingers in those long strands of brown hair.
No,
she says. Please, I say.
No, you come here.
I smile, and with zero reservation, push off the wall, closing the space between us to stand in front of her. Here I am. Now, what are you going to do with me?
How is it that I told you what to do, and I still feel like I did what you wanted me to do?
Because getting closer to you again, no matter how it happens, is always what I want, and not something I'll ever turn down. The elevator dings, and I push off the wall, backing up and motioning her forward. The doors open, and she gives me an intense look, and then exits the car. I follow, and I really don't mind the way she's charging forward and leaving me. I do enjoy her ass in those jeans, but I'll like it better naked. I catch up with her and step to her side. And when we reach my apartment, she does the unexpected. She doesn't wait on me. She keys in the code, and I love it. She's pissed, but she's not running from me. It shows a commitment level I doubt she understands, but I do. And if she was anyone else, I'd be objecting, not celebrating. But I am celebrating, damn near ready for party hats and balloons. Or the alternative version with whiskey and sex. She enters the apartment, and I join her, shutting the door and locking it. She flattens on the door beside me.
I'm not going any further than right here until we talk.
Okay, I say, stepping to her, my legs framing her legs, my hands at her hips. Let's talk. Her hands go to my wrists.
I told you, I can't talk when you're touching me.
That isn't exactly what you said, but close enough. And I'm going to fucking lose my mind if I don't touch you.
You don't get to be in control. That's the entire point.
Sweetheart, I'm not one to just lay back and let you ride me, but if that's what makes you happy...
Asher!
She grabs my shirt, which actually turns me on. But I don't think now is the time to tell her that.
You know I'm not talking about sex. You're trying to take over my life.
I'm saving your life, I say.
And I'm saving yours. What part of I won't let you die do you not understand?
I told you.
Don't say you won't die.
She says, her voice vibrating with emotion.
Do not say it again. You're human, just like I was when my car crashed.
There is panic in her voice, real fear. And I pull her close, my hand at the back of her head. Easy, sweetheart. We can do this together.
We won't work if you...
We already work, I say. My mouth slanting down over hers, my tongue licking into her mouth, a deep slide of tongue followed by another. She resists at first, her hand pressed to my chest, her arm stiff, but then comes her soft moan that is hot as hell, followed by the softening of her arms. I deepen the kiss, drinking in the taste of her, sweet and fierce, all at once, molding her closer, but she pushes against me, tearing her mouth away. I don't give her time for the objection sure to follow. I scoop her up, and she yelps.
What are you doing?
She demands. But at this point, I'm already at the steps and climbing. Taking you to my bedroom, where I've wanted you all night.
I said I wasn't leaving the doorway until we talked.
We did talk, I remind her. And we'll talk some more.
Let me go, Asher.
Never.
Put me down.
Almost, I say, clearing the top step and walking into my bedroom, where I elbow on the light. I brought you up here for a reason.
To get naked?
She says. Well, yes, sweetheart, I say, setting her down with me between the bed and her. That's a given, but we could have done that downstairs, and that's the point. I catch her hand where it's landed on my chest before she can escape. Let's talk about those broken rules. I'll tell you mine, you tell me yours. Deal?
Yes, okay, deal. I'll go first. Don't get close to anyone. Don't even make eye contact. Don't let anyone in my personal space. Don't ever say his name. Your turn.
Don't get close to anyone. Don't bring women here. Not to my home. Not to my bedroom. Ever. I tell women up front. I fuck. I don't fall in love. And we've already agreed that you're going to tell me his name. I slide my hand under her hair and drag her mouth close to mine. I want you here, Sierra. You belong with me now. And I don't know what this is between us, but I want to find out. She closes her fingers around my shirt.
You have to stay alive to find out.
I cup her face. That's the point I'm making. I'm not going anywhere. In fact, I've never been so present in my life. My mouth closes down on hers once more, and the minute my tongue touches hers, she is right here with me this time. She kisses me. She melts into me, her soft curves all snug against me, making me harder and hotter. I tangle fingers in her hair, wanting her submission in a way I have never wanted another woman's. And where I'd resisted demanding too much of her earlier, now I want it all. I tear my mouth from hers and back her against the bedpost, one hand at her hip, the other on the post above her head. He doesn't own you.
He does, or I'd be free.
No. You're with me now.
You know it. I know it.
I'm all in, sweetheart. Sierra.
Asher,
she whispers, slipping her hand under my shirt, soft skin that is cool and yet hot. Everything about her makes me hot.
I don't mind if you call me sweetheart. I actually like it, unless I'm mad at you.
Easy solution. Don't be mad at me.
Don't make me mad.
I laugh. Right. Well, let's resolve to not stay mad for long. She laughs.
Probably the best choice.
Our laughter fades. The air around us charged. All in, Sierra. That's the only way we do us. Say it.
I can't. He does own me, Asher.
No. If he owned you, you wouldn't be here. I kiss her. A quick, deep, passionate kiss, my hands pressing under her shirt and caressing it up her body until I pull it over her head. If he owned you, I wouldn't be doing this. I toss her shirt away and unhook her bra, sliding it off her shoulders. Or this. I reach up and tease her nipples. She arches her back, and I cup one of her breasts while my other hand slides between her shoulder blades and molds her to me. Who owns you, Sierra?
Stop asking me that.
Not until you let go of him.
I'm not holding on to him.
As long as you say he owns you, he does.
And you think you do?
She challenges, anger sparking amber in the depths of her beautiful blue eyes.
You own you, I say, turning her to face the bedpost, forcing her to catch herself on the wood before I lean into her, my lips at her ear. But if I have to own you to get you to let go of him, I will. Chapter 21 Asher.
No man will ever own me again, Asher,
she whispers. Those words, delivered with an emphasis on my name, hit me with a hard punch of reality. She is too insistent that he owns her. She hasn't let go. Maybe she doesn't want to let go. Fuck. I've become too attached to this woman, too fucking fast. It's like the Walker brothers and their obsession with their women have become a contagion, and there is no damn vaccine. I release her and grab the bedpost above her head. You won't ever be owned by anyone but him, I say. Got it. She faces me.
No,
she says, her hands flattening on my chest.
That is not what I'm saying.
Then what are you saying?
I left him for a reason.
To belong to him from a distance? Because you're choosing to belong to him. To fear him, or maybe it's not fear. I don't know what the fuck it is.
You don't understand.
Make me, I say.
No.
Then let go of me, Sierra. I push off the bedpost, and when I would move away, she grabs my belt loops.
I'm not letting you go,
she says.
I don't want him.
But you want me.
You know I want you. You know I want to know what this is between us, just like you.
Then who owns you, Sierra? Because you're about a fuck and a good morning away from owning me, and I'm not going there if you belong to him.
I don't belong to him.
Who do you belong to?
Me. I belong to me.
Are you sure? I press.
Yes. Yes.
Say it, I order.
I belong to me.
That's not what I want to hear.
He doesn't own me.
I cup her head. Say it like you mean it.
He doesn't own me, Asher. And I'm saying your name to make sure you know that I know who I'm with.
Where she belongs. That thought comes to me. And I don't try to understand it or fight it. It's the Walker way. Women are fuck buddies until one woman explodes into your life and overnight changes that. There is no doubt that I caught that bug, and I have none of the regrets Sierra has feared. I take her in my arms and I kiss her. A deep, drink her in and fucking own her kiss. Her hands press my shirt upward, and I pull back and drag it over my head. Her hands are immediately on my arms, her eyes on the scar where it blends into my tattoo. She leans in and kisses it, her lips warm on my skin, while I'm hot with a variety of fantasies about where else that mouth can go. For now, I press my mouth to her mouth, and the instant my tongue touches her tongue, there is a surge between us. Hunger, need, lust, my hands everywhere I can touch. Her hands everywhere she can touch. Her boots come off, and then mine. She reaches for my pants, and I reach for hers. It should be fucking perfect, but perfect is ruined by her voice in my head saying, "He owns me." Which leads me to thinking about her mouth on him, right when it's on me, and I don't like it. I tear my mouth from hers, my hands sliding under her hair to cup her neck. There are two ways to own someone, Sierra, I say. The wrong way, his way, or the way I'm going to own you right now, tonight.
And your way is the right way?
I'll let you judge. My cheek slides to hers, lips to her ear.
My way means that you moan. You sigh. My fingers lightly touch her nipple, and she arches into me. You tremble, I add, cupping her breast. You want more now, and yet you don't want it enough to make it end, and I already don't want it to end, Sierra. She leans into me, her head resting on my shoulder, emotion that isn't pleasure radiating off of her and crashing into me. I cup her face and tilt her chin up, my thumb stroking her cheek. What are you thinking?
Nothing. Everything. Can you kiss me again already?
Where, Sierra?
Where?
Where do you want me to kiss you? Tell me.
Everywhere.
She pushes to her toes, and her lips find mine, looking for an escape, trying to drive her demons away. I want to demand her answer, make her tell me where she wants my mouth, but I feel her desperation, her need to escape whatever is in her head. And so I press my lips to hers, I kiss her mouth, drinking her in, and I don't taste him this time. I taste her. I taste us. I taste need and hunger and passion. I want you naked, I say, my hands sliding inside her jeans and panties. In every possible way, Sierra.
I'm pretty sure I'm already there, and it's terrifying.
She flattens her hand on my chest.
If you turn into an asshole, I swear.
You can punish me, I promise. And I'm still willing to offer suggestions.
If you turn into an asshole after I trusted you,
she says.
I won't need suggestions, Mr. Ex-Navy SEAL who won't be able to hide from my wrath.
Fuck, I'm crazy about this woman. Good thing I'm not going to turn into an asshole. I want you naked, I repeat. And this time I make it happen. I lower myself to one knee and take her jeans and panties with me. My arm wraps her waist, and I lift her, dragging her clothing away and setting her back down. My hands settle on her hips then, and I look up at her. She stares down at me, the simmering look in her eyes all about arousal, submission. And I want that from her, and not because it's some sex game of which I could play and play well. I press my lips to her belly, and just that easily she trembles, and it only makes me want more. Everything is more with her. I drag my mouth lower and lower until I linger a lick from her clit, my breath a warm trickle meant to tease. She reaches for me, and that's when I turn her to the bedpost, forcing her to catch herself and presenting her perfect, heart-shaped backside for my pleasure. I give it a little smack, not the kind that hurts, but it surprises her and she yelps. I stand up and do it again, my hands resting on her cheek. Have you ever been spanked, Sierra? I ask, leaning in close.
No,
she says. Tied up?
No.
Flogged?
No.
Had your nipples clamped?
Oh, no,
she says, sounding shocked. I laugh. Oh, yes. You'd like it, I promise.
I don't...
You do. You will. You'll like it. My hands settle on her shoulders. I'm going to step back and undress.
I can't stay like this.
Just for a minute, I say. This is about trust. I'm not going to do anything but undress. I promise, Sierra. I drag my hands down her arms, my fingers catching hers before I let them fall away. I step back, and I'm undressed in about 30 seconds. Just that fast, Sierra turns to face me, her gaze raking over my naked body, her attention lingering on my cock that is now jutted between us for long enough to distract me and have me thinking about her on her knees in front of me before her eyes.